Your horse racing preview is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.
Delighted to say Martin Murphy joins us on the line. Martin, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to Patrick. How are you keeping?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Yourself?
Good, thanks. Not better. Not so bad now at all.
It's been busy, I suppose, Martin, over the last month or so. Plenty of racing ongoing. And just to look back at last week, good racing at the Curragh last weekend. And I just want to pick up on a couple of results. Well, probably the most impressive winner for me, anyway, in the Futurity Stakes, Anthony Van Dyke, returning to 6-4 on Fairer Clearing, claiming the big Group 2 race last Sunday.
Yes, he did it well, all right, Patrick. No question. He's never a horse, I suppose, that's going to travel smoothly through a race and just quicken up and win like some other horses do. But he certainly, when he gets in the top gear, he really does find plenty. And at this stage, you can see, I think he's more a Derby horse for me, but maybe he will be good enough to win the Guineas. I suppose O'Brien has produced so many of these type of horses over the years, and he obviously seems to get them to go very well in the Guineas. But at the moment, he's a very workmanlike, you'd have to say. He was pushed along from an early stage last week. His stable companion, Christmas, hit a strong gallop. And look, it took a while for him to get there. And even when he did, he kind of had to battle hard to get by. But I think he certainly has horse to improve a lot more. And I'd love to see him stepping up, in longer distance next year. A mile and a quarter, a mile and a half. I think it'd be a serious horse then. But yes, he does look a nice prospect at this stage.
The Royal Whip Stakes then went to a very, very close race indeed. Only a nose in the difference. But the woman again, Jessie Harrington, having a wonderful season again this year with Beautiful Morning claiming the Group 3.
Yeah, great race that was. A terrific contest indeed. And Goville ran well, I thought, because I thought the ground might have been a bit soft for him. But he ran a cracker under Ryan Moore and only just denied in the last ride by Beautiful Morning and Colin O'Donoghue. And as you say, just adding on to what has been a tremendous 2018 season for Jessica Harrington. She really has, done really well in the flat this year. It's not that it's a bit of a surprise, really, but it's just that everybody knows her more as a national home trainer. But she's an awful lot of good flat horses, and she's done very well to her two-year-olds as well. I think she's one of the leading trainers of two-year-olds, even at the Curragh. And, she's some very well very well-bred horses, and she also has some very nice owners as well. And, there's no doubt that she certainly is in the top four or five flat trainers now. And, looks like the size and John now those to come back over the national home season, it's a tremendous achievement for her to keep going all year round, churning out the winners. And Colin O'Donoghue certainly has been a very, very big ally for that. He's done extremely well, not riding for the Aidan O'Brien stable anymore. Riding for Jesse Harrington has been a great move for him, and he's certainly doing very well this season.
And of course, the Irish St. Ledger trial, which took place on Saturday, went to flag of honour for Aidan and Donoghue O'Brien.
You'd have to like his attitude, all right, Patrick. He battled hard because he had a Group 2 penalty there, a £5 penalty, and Twilight Payment's a good solid horse for Jim Bulger's. He came at him hard early in the straight. He even headed him at one stage, but Flag Runner battled back extremely well. I thought Southern France ran a good race on his first run for quite a while, and he could be one to watch out for next time as well. He did say, he's going to split up those horses when it comes to the Ledger. It looks possibly doubtful now that Order of St. George might make the Order of St. Ledger, and that would be certainly make things very interesting. And funny enough, really, Patrick, it's hard to believe, really, but Aidan O'Brien has never failed to win an Irish Classic since 2005, and this year he hasn't actually won any of the four Classics to date, so the Irish St. Ledger will be his last chance. I'm sure he's definitely desperately trying to win it. Obviously Kew Gardens ran a good race at York last week as well, and he's got a fabulous chance to win the English St. Ledger, but he will run, I suppose, three or four in each race. I'd be interested in what way things go. I think Flag of Honour could go for the Irish Ledger at this stage, and I certainly think Southern France might be one, maybe going for the English Ledger, but either way he'd be hoping to round off the season by winning both of those Classics.
And just briefly turning our attentions to the national hunt scene, a very good win by Peregrine Run in the Mercedes-Benz Handicap Chase at Killarney last week. I believe he's running tonight in Down Royal, and he is going to be heading for the Kerry National in the stall.
Yeah, the key to him definitely, Patrick, is the good ground. The ground in the Galway Place just went soft on today. An awful lot of rain down there on that actual occasion. It just turned a bit messy for him. He's a very solid horse. He loves Killarney, loves good ground. He gets on very well with Roger Loughran. And he's got a good chance of winning tonight at Down Royal. There's no question. He's in a nice hurdle race there. He's nicely treated by the conditions, and hopefully he'll win that. But at Kerry National, normally the ground can be quite soft on the stall, so that would be a bit of a worry. But hopefully it's not too far away now. And if the weather stays fair, at the moment the forecast is quite good, he definitely must have an excellent chance. 3 miles round there would be no problem at all to him.
Just a busy week in racing this past week, but just last night's action at Tipperary, Martin, there was two group races done for decision. The first race was the Fairy Bridge, the Group 3 contest, and William Haggis is after having a wonderful season, of course, that filly Sea of Class claiming the Yorkshire Oaks at York last week. Well, he brought over one master who won in a good fashion last night.
Yes, absolutely. When he does send a horse over to Ireland, William Haggis is certainly a man to follow, no question about that. He also won the Pretty Polly early on the season, but he really is a top class trainer. winner, there's no doubt about that. And it was a good battle last night. It got a bit rough for the favourite, I think, early on. Missed the break, Donald O'Brien on the favourite, Aidan O'Brien, only finished fifth. But it was a tight finish, and it was good to see the two English Raiders picking it out again. But they're doing well under Raids this year, the English Raiders, and there's plenty going again at Tacora tomorrow. But it is encouraging to see that. You wouldn't want all one-way traffic and Aidan O'Brien and the bigger trainers here keeping all those prizes at home. It's nice to see the English coming over and picking up some nice group races. We've got plenty of fillies group races over here, and a lot of the English trainers are very interested in those type of races, because obviously, you know, when a filly wins a group race, she's worth an awful lot when it goes to stud for her paddock value, and you know, a lot of the English trainers are not too slow to see those opportunities.
The other race I want to touch on was the listed Abergwan Stakes, Martin, and that went to the way of the Jarlines and Colin Keane combination when Blue Uluru claimed the 5 furlong sprint in a close finish.
Yes, indeed, and it was a good performance for her. I've seen her run all this season, and I have to say I was surprised that they were trying 6 furlongs with her, because to me she's an out-and-out sprinter. She travels extremely well in the race. She takes a strong grip from Colin Keane. It was a bit of a step up in class tomorrow. She ran a fine race to hit the bid, who I think ran an absolute cracker for Darren Bunyan. I know Darren well, and his big target, of course, is the Flying Five in a couple of weeks' time at the Curra on Champions Weekend. And, you know, he was a very good winner at Maidan early in the season. The faster the ground, the better for him. He certainly just needed that run last night. He said he would. I thought he ran a cracker, but he only got beaten a half a length. He's the one, I think, to take out the race going forward, and he could be one definitely to follow in the Flying Five in a couple of weeks' time at the Curra. He probably would be the pick of the home team, because it's going to be an awful strong challenge from England, no doubt about that. It's the first run of a group race, a group one race for the Flying Five, because it used to always be group two and group three. So it's good to see a group one sprint in Ireland, and he hopefully will be one of the main home contenders.
Yeah, we'll be keeping close eye, of course, Irish Champions Weekend. Only 2 weeks away now. Just bits of news. Ruby Walsh planning to return for Listowel on the 9th of September.
That's right, and good. It was good to see him back. He had a couple of falls there last week, and obviously he took a bit of a fall on Nessun Dorma, the Killarney on the Friday, and then another one then on Saturday. He took a bit of a nasty fall, as we said. And while he didn't break anything, obviously, you know, over so many years, he's broken so many bones and all that type of thing, and he is getting older. You have to wonder, you know, how quick his power recovery would be if he keeps getting these falls. It just means Rachel Blackmore is still a great chance. She's leading the rider at the moment all season, and she continues to turn out the winners, no doubt about that. Davey, of course, hasn't really got going yet, but he will do. He's obviously going to be heading towards the winter now with lots of very good horses to ride for Gordon Elliott. Jack Kennedy the same, and of course Whitty looks to have an awful strong amount of horses this year, so Ruby will be certainly looking forward to get back on that. He said he'd be back hopefully Sunday week at the Stowell, and let's hope that is the case.
And back to the flat action then, Martin. The Melbourne Cup entries were released during the week, and a record number of entries for English and Irish horses.
Yeah, no surprise there, I suppose, Patrick. It's amazing to think that, you know, up to 1993, I suppose a lot of us never even heard of the Melbourne Cup until Vincent Scrapp went out and won it for Denver Weld. And now we see 163 entries, and that is an unbelievable amount of entries for a handicap. And it's such a high-class race now. Of course, the value of the race is so high as well. It's almost £2 million sterling, which is huge money for a handicap. But in saying that, it's really more than a handicap, and it's interesting to see the trove for Donegal Ryan, Irish Derby winner, have been entered as well. It'll be very, very interesting. A lot of English interest, a lot of French interest as well. And you can see that a lot of the first 10 or 12 in the betting at the moment, I think 8 or 9 of them are at least trained in Europe. And that is just a complete change from what it was years ago, when the Aussies just used to keep the race. Nobody would go down and take them on. Now everybody's keen to do it. And the Aussies have a battle in their hands to keep it at home again next year, or this year, sorry.
Yeah, we'll be keeping close eye on that, because in 2 weeks' time, I believe, the order of entry will be released on that. And just breaking news this morning as well, and there will be a change in TV coverage, as the World is 7 Network have walked away from Melbourne Cup coverage from 2019, and will be taken over by Channel 10. But I'm sure we'll be keeping a close eye on that over the next couple of weeks. Speaking of broadcasting coverage, Martin, this is the final bit of news we're going to cover. The rumbles are starting to come around for Racing UK. We're only 4 months away before the transfer over to RUK from At The Races, and not a whole lot being said at this moment in time, Martin, but with the fixtures being announced in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure we'll find out a lot more.
Yes, absolutely. I believe it'll be the same number of fixtures as last year, around 353, 360, I think it is. And it'll be interesting. It's going to be a big change for us after getting so used to At The Races to see RUK doing it. Obviously, they're highly professional outfit, all right, but no sign of someone like Gary O'Brien or Kevin O'Ryan or anything like that from At The Races going over to RUK yet. But as you said, the next couple of months, I think you'll see plenty of announcements. And the fixture list in a couple of weeks' time will be interesting. Lots of things to look forward to next season. Obviously, Easter is actually, I can tell you for sure, Patrick, that Easter is much later this year, so the Punchdown Festival actually goes on by a week. Easter's coming towards the end of April, which messes things up slightly, because I think it's only going to be 7 or 8 days between the Fairy House Festival and the Punchdown Festival. So I know Punchdown will go into the first weekend in May, which probably is not ideal, but would be good for the Cheltenham horses, because it'll give them loads of time to run at Cheltenham in March and then go to Punchdown, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of things, I suppose, to be decided yet when it comes to the racing coverage. And from the 1st of January, as you say, it will be RUK taking over from Matter Races. And they've been there since about 2004, 2005. It's going to be a big loss for a lot of us, I'd say. But hopefully RUK will do a very good job as well.
Yeah, we'll be keeping a close eye over the next couple of weeks and months. Let's have a look at the weekend's racing. Just the one day this weekend, it's racing at the Cor on Saturday, and of course Sunday is the blank day for the All-Ireland Football Final. And we were speaking about off-air, Martin, there's always four or five blank Sundays, and always the All-Irelands generally get the Sunday off as well.
That's right, and it's true, Patrick. Same with the Hurlingham as well, a couple of weeks ago, it was trying to be as well. It's just the way things fell, and of course with the Pope then coming last week, I suppose, we had to wait until the GAA and when the actual finals would be. And this Sunday, as you say, between Dublin and Tyrone, it generally is a blank day, and it is again. So the Cor actually was a programme for this Sunday and Saturday, but Friday night's meeting, which is tonight, is actually moved from Sunday to Friday night, just to accommodate the All-Ireland. But it's a good car tomorrow, all right, starting at 1:10, because there's a good charity event afterwards, the Jog for Jockeys, to do this jog, a 5 kilometre jog. A lot of jockeys and a lot of the public as well go a couple of rounds of the Cor race course, which I walk out there plenty enough. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to run 5 kilometres at the Cor, because it's a very stiff finish, and it'll be a big crowd there tomorrow to do that. It's at 5:15 after the last race, which is 5:25. Then used to have it before race, and now they're having it tomorrow after race, and you see a lot of the jockeys and trainers even taking part in this, and it's a really, really good event. It raises a lot of money for cancer, and very, very important that it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's have a look at the card then tomorrow, Martin. 7 races, as you say. 1:10 to start. Let's kick you off with the opening race and the maiden over a mile, Sydney Opera House, after having 2 runs. You would expect him to go on and maybe put that one beside his name?
You would, I suppose, Patrick. He was beaten at odds on last time, 4-9, and beaten by a very decent looking horse of Kevin Pendergast called Mad Moon. And he could be a very interesting horse. I'd say he'd be going for the Berkshire Stakes and won those races in a couple of weeks' time. But at Sydney Opera House, he made a run that occasion and just had no answer to the winner, it has to be said. No, they were nicely clear of the third. I'd imagine he probably will be favoured again tomorrow and should go well. I thought Patrick Sarsfield ran a nice race, ready to line him in that race, finished third, and he could run nicely. Well, Dermot Wells, Tin and Daly is the first time out for Declan McDonough and the can, so that could be interesting too. But I suppose really Sydney Opera House should win it.
The Flame of Tara is the Group 3 contest for 2-year-olds only on the card tomorrow, and we've 9 2-year-olds heading for the starter.
Yeah, interesting this one, alright. Just Wonderful is probably the favourite for Aidan O'Brien and Dunica. Finished a good third in the Angus last time, over 6 furlongs and 63 yards at Tacora in July. Before that, had ran at Ascot, but seemed to be kind of overawed by the experience on that occasion and never really landed a blow. She had won her maiden over 6 furlongs at Tacora early on in the season. Stepping up to a mile here is interesting. I think she probably will get the trip, alright. I can see why she's going to start favourite. Mick Shannon has a couple of runners tomorrow. He sends over a filly called China, who was a big price third in a group race at Goodwood a couple of weeks ago, 50-1 shot on that occasion. That was a big surprise because she was only graded 78 on that occasion. Maybe the extra distance of that race suited her an awful lot, and she could even improve on that further tomorrow. She's rated about 95 now, which gives her a good chance of winning. But I think the top one, Jim Bulger's Banduagella, could be the one here. This one ran a blinder behind Skitter Scatter in a very strong debutant stakes at the Curragh last weekend, only beaten 3.5 lengths on that occasion. That was quite a good performance, had some very nice fillies behind her. Her rating's gone up to 103. The step up to a mile will suit, because she was second over a mile at Cork on her penultimate start. I think she might be good enough to win for Jim Bulger and Kevin Manning.
The third race then is the handicap rated 50 to 70 for horses rated 50 to 70, I should say, over 10 furlongs and a massive field of 26.
Yeah, wide open contest this, Patrick. Lots of horses in with chances. Vastanea of Kevin Pendergast, number 5 in the car there. He's a very likeable old campaigner. I think he's 10 or 11 years of age now, and showed he was no back number when a good second to Leopardstown last time out. He's up £3 for that, but Dylan Hogan is an apprentice that gets on very well with him. And even he's an outside draw here, 22, which won't be a deal for him, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him run a good race. The possible favourite is number 16, Perfect Tappatino, for Joseph Bryan and Dunica. Good third last time at Leopardstown. That, I think, was one of the first runs for the stable, having with somebody else before that. It was quite a good effort and sure to improve. Also down towards the bottom, a horse called Finneocht of Jim Bulger and Kevin Manning ran well last night in second at Tipperary over 7 furlongs. Steps up to a mile and 2 now. Just wonder will she get the trip, but it could be significant if she turned out again. That's a winner in the chances as well. Maybe Q Lewis for John Gagan could go well, and possibly Park Row for Dennis Coakley and his son Ross, 1 mile in Ferryhouse last time. So it's a wide open contest. I would go maybe with Fastenay each way. I think he certainly should be in the first four anyway.
The Snow Fairy Stakes, Martin, is the Group 3 contest for 3-year-old fillies and upwards over 9 furlongs.
Yeah, this is a cracking race, I have to say, Patrick. Very, very strong contest. Mary Tudor for William McCreary, an absolute blinder, I thought, when touring the Irish Oaks there a couple of weeks ago. She was taught to see a class, and we all know how good this filly is. See a class went on and won the Yorkshire Oaks last week, then again for William Haggis, and is already only 4-1, I think, second favourite for the Ark at the moment. She's a very, very good filly. And Mary Tudor ran a blinder against her. Stepping down the trip, I think, would suit her. She might not just get home the last half furlong or so of that race, but she could possibly wasn't good enough either. But she's the highest rated animal here, and she must have a very big chance for William McCreary and Billy Lee. The English ones, though, are very strong in this race, I have to say. Desert Diamond for Sir Michael Stout was the one I was looking at, ridden by Chris Hayes on this occasion tomorrow. It was a good 6-length winner last time of a listed race at York. Beat a filly called Snowy Winter, who actually is in again tomorrow. Now, this Snowy Winter went on and won the race at Gordon Park a couple of weeks ago at a big price. Archie Watson trains it and should go well again, but has an awful lot of ground to make up on Desert Diamond. The other English one, Mick Shannon's Adorable, has a good chance. Well, Jessica Harrington's I'm So Fancy was a close to fifth in a Group 1 at France a couple of weeks ago. So there is a very, very good race this. I think Desert Diamond, an improvement trio filly for Sir Michael Stout, who's won this race in the past. I think this one could be the one here, but Mary Tudor must be a huge danger.
There's 8 2-year-olds lining up for the Round Tower Stakes. Over 6 furlongs, due off at 3.25.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise here, Patrick. I don't know if you've seen that race last week. 10 sovereigns, absolutely bolted in for Aidan O'Brien. 7 lengths he won, 22-runner maiden. Didn't seem to be much of a fancy for it beforehand. It was an easy to back 5-1 chance. But he did look hugely impressive. And the nominated race, like the Middle Park Stakes, Group 1 race in Newmarket in October 1st, and its next start. But it's a bit of a surprise to see him run here just 7 days later. Now, I'd say he probably would start a very warm favourite and probably should win. The English challenger, Mick Shannon's Jungle in the Bungle, showed good form early on the season, but just rating of 90, I think, wouldn't be good enough to win this. The big danger, I think, is Jessica Harrington's Servalan. Made a good start at Dundalk, second early on the season, then won a listed race at Naas, which was very good form, with the Skitter Scatter, who's won 2 group races since, finished third on that occasion. She ran then the Queen Mary Stakes at Royal Ascot and finished only beating a length, finished a close-up 6th in the big field. Has been given a break after that and certainly will put up the 10 sovereigns tomorrow, although I'm not quite sure if she's good enough to beat him. I think she's definitely given a race. She's rated 98, but this 10 sovereigns certainly looks an exciting horse, and if he can build on last week's promise, he'd probably be good enough to beat her.
Possibly the big race tomorrow is the €100,000 Tote Irish Cambridgeshire over the straight mile, and we've got the maximum field of 22.
Yeah, huge field here, Patrick, as you would expect. Last year's winner was Elusive Time, and he challenges again here for Takashi Kodama. He was 25-1 when he won on that occasion. Only ran twice since then, and he's actually not much higher in the weights. So while he'll be a big price again tomorrow, I wouldn't totally rule him out. English challengers here, Firmament for David O'Mara and Michael Appleby's Greatest Journey. Firmament, I think, would be the pick of those two. And he's a very solid horse in these type of races in England, the Royal Hunt Cup and all these 7 furlongs and mile races in England. He ran a very good race at York a couple of weeks ago, just got touched off in a 3-way photo. I think he's got a fabulous chance tomorrow, and he has to be greatly respected. Declan O'Donnell is the man entrusted with the ride. Aidan O'Brien and Dunica, represented by Lucius Tiberius, a much improved 3-year-old. I think he's better though over a mile and a quarter. He's won a couple of races over that distance this season. I just think stepping back down to a mile might be a bit quick for him. Mick Hafford is a great chance. 4 runners. The pick of those two possibly will be Terzetto with Chris Hayes, good winner over course and distance last time, and Catty Man, who finished 4th in the race last year. I noticed ran a good race last weekend when 4th over 7 furlongs. Catty Man is an outside draw on stall 22, which won't make things easy, but young Ben Cohen claims a valuable £7 off his back, and I think he's the one that'll be back in each way tomorrow. Turbine for Dennis Hogan has a solid chance as well, and maybe Johnny Murtis run Lethal Power would have a bit of a chance for young Sean Davis off a low weight. Wide open contest, as you would expect. I'm going to go with Catty Man each way.
And the closing race, Martin, is the 6 furlong handicap with 15 runners.
Yeah, another typically competitive sprint. Marek was a very good horse a couple of seasons ago for Ivana McCutcheon. He's slipping down the weights all the time. Probably would need more rain overnight, though, to make a huge impact in this. Urban Beat is a good horse for Johnny Murta early on the season. Hasn't ran since May, when he won very easily on very soft ground over this course and distance. He's up £8 for that and just might need to run. The two maybe to concentrate on are possibly Blair Main for Natalie Lupini and Hello Bridgette for Michael O'Callaghan. They finished 4th and 5th respectively in a big sprint at the Curragh and in Oaks weekend. That was won by a good English horse called Intasab. I thought both of them ran very well, and maybe with Hello Bridgette just been a 3-year-old, she might have more scope for improvement. Gary Halpin takes the mount. I think she has a very solid each way chance.
All right, so that's the weekend's action at the Curragh. That's the only meeting of the weekend on this Saturday. And Martin, is that time of the week where your best bets are?
I'm going to take a chance on Desert Diamond in the Snow Fairy Filly Stakes, and I'll take a chance on Cathy Man in the Irish Campshire.
All right, we'll be keeping close eye on the two of them over the weekend. Martin, thanks very much again for joining us, and of course you'll be back with us next week. We'll be previewing the start of the Listowel Harvest Festival next Friday.
No problem, look forward to that, Patrick. Take care of yourself.
Your horse racing preview was brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.